Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are underway, Tech Talk, on this Saturday. And Doug Swinhart is in. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you're having problems with your computer, hard drive, software, whatever, feel free to call the program. And there's a couple of ways to get in on our talk and text line. The number is the same, 651-461-9226. You can send a text or you can call the studio. And if you do call in, you'll visit with Jonathan Lowell, our producer on the program today. Doug, how you been?
Absolutely wonderful. A little bit cold, but you know, this weather, I still have nothing to complain about for the winter.
Yeah, I mean, we had a little bit of snow. Looks like we'll have a big one tomorrow into Monday. There is a winter storm warning. We'll have more on that as we move through the day. But it looks like all snow Sunday and maybe a rain-snow mix on Monday here in the cities with all snow up north. All right, Doug, let's get started on our text line. And please discuss the fast restart option, which has been a default setting in Windows since Windows 8. Under what circumstances is it better to do a restart rather than a complete shutdown? So, in other words, when is it appropriate to just restart your computer, and when should you shut it all the way down and start over?
You know, this is interesting that these people bring this up. Inside your BIOS, on a lot of computers, you've got a fast start. And what that does is that allows Windows to actually keep things open. I really don't care for it. I generally will shut it off. But a restart will do exactly the same thing as if you were to shut your computer down completely. Generally speaking, a restart is just as good as shutting it down unless you're going to unplug it and drain all the electricity out of that unit, which would include the CMOS battery as well. But this fast start thing, I don't care for it. It's got too many variables. It takes up disk space, and it's more like a suspend mode. And I'm not real high on it. Never have been. And just an opinion. Many people like it. You won't find it so much on Linux machines because they don't care for it either. So, but it's I don't think you should be using it. That personal opinion.
All right. Doug, let's get back to something we have brought up, and we brought up on the show a week ago, since it gets into keeping your machine running. When do you restart? When do you shut down? What is your guide for when you shut down a computer, laptop, desktop, etc.? I kind of brought up what I do at my full-time job during the week. On Monday, I power it up, and on Friday, I shut it down for the weekend. That's what I do with my work computer.
I think that's really good. You know, then you're coming into work, you're punched in, you're not wasting any time waiting 3, 4, 5 minutes for your machine to boot and get everything reopened. I like that idea. I think that's just fine. And for people who are home users, if you're not going to be on the computer for a couple weeks, shut it down. It's not like it used to be 25 years ago where the motherboards would actually expand and contract and dry out and crack. You don't have to worry about the composites on a motherboard, even on a machine that's 10, 12, 15 years old. Those days are long gone, so it's really a matter of preference. Now, I do like a clean boot when I'm working, but it really kind of depends on how much stuff you got starting when it boots as well. Mine I keep really, really clean, almost minimal, and so it boots right up. Mine usually take 30 seconds to boot unless it's one of my big ones with lots of memory. By the way, Steve, people don't realize this, but the more RAM you have, the longer the boot period. It's just a fact of life. A 32-gig machine will take considerably longer than a 4-gig or an 8-gig. And it's just something to think about when you're buying a computer.
And we're joined by Doug Swinhart, Tech Talk underway. And by the way, our number on the program, 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. And I want to follow up on one other item, and that is smartphones. Most folks carrying around smartphones, whether it's an Android or an Apple, an iPhone. You and I have talked about this before, and I'm a big believer. One day a week, pick the day, whatever. Shut it down overnight. Plug it in, shut it down overnight. Probably not a bad idea, because sometimes people run these things 24/7, and that's fine, but I'm still a big believer in that. Once a week, give them a break.
Oh, absolutely. And with, I think it's more important with smartphones than it is even other digital equipment. Your routers, your modems or routers from Comcast or Xfinity and CenturyLink, I think you should take them down at least twice a month for a good hour, at least. Have you shut it down on Sunday night when you go to bed and you fire it up before you start making coffee on Monday morning? That's a good plan, too. It really needs to retrain all the way up the wide area network. It does make a difference. I've had some real strange behavior in my routers and internet connection the last several days, and I shut them down for 2 hours last night, and things are looking a lot better today. There's really no explanation, because we can't see what's going on top of us or up the chain. When we're on the internet, we are dependent upon literally hundreds of pieces of equipment that we never see, don't even know that are there. But all those pieces of equipment, when you are retraining that all the way up the chain, it does make a difference. It truly does. And I think that's good practice for your home, routers, modems, at least twice a month. Once a month at bare minimum. But your computers, if you're feeling like you gotta shut it down, shut it down. And laptops especially, a lot of them have the feature where you shut that your cover down on your notebook or your laptop, and it really, it keeps running, but it just stays in a suspend mode and shuts off the display. That's not a real shutdown. And that can create some real issues over time. So I think that's good advice, Steve. Thank you so much.
And let's go to the text line. Here's a good one. I have a Lenovo desktop, Windows 10 Home, and Malwarebytes Premium. I'm being prompted to upgrade to 11 for free. What do you think?
Well, I would make sure if it's a production machine that you got all your stuff backed up, but I've seen Windows 11 update just fine. I don't see the problems with this that we really normally will anticipate, but like I say, do a complete backup. And it's much easier to jump into something like that if you've taken the time to do a fresh install. Just take your machine down to nothing and start fresh. Not many people do that, and I encourage that. Once you get to a point to where you're starting to be a little more confident in your computer ability, it really is a good idea to just start fresh. That gives you a whole different vision of how these things run and what it's required, and it'll take a little time, probably a couple hours, your first time for sure, depending on the speed of your machine and how much software you have to reinstall. But it's nowhere near the job I think that people believe it to be. It's doable. But 11 is updating very, very fine, and they've got big hopes for 12 as well. But I'm liking 11. 11's okay. It's got little quirks, but not bad. I like 11.
All right, quick break. We'll come back, and we're going to come back and talk about a program called ID Me, or that second level of authentication, not just logging in and putting in your password, but they actually send a 6 or 7 digit number to your smartphone, and then you log in from there. And we're going to get into Doug's thoughts on all of that when we come back. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to call or text 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 here on News Talk, 830-WCCO.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO. And, Doug, dual authentication is becoming a bigger and bigger thing. You have your username, your password, and then they'll say, okay, we're going to make sure it's you, and they send to your smartphone, for instance. Sometimes can be to your email. Usually it's a six-digit number, sometimes more, sometimes less, but six digits are the most common. I really like this security feature, and from our text line, same person, more and more websites are doing this. Mm-hmm. There are other things like ID.me and other services like that. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it's absolutely necessary. And, you know, there's lots of little keys that you can buy on Amazon for $30 to $60 that will do dual authentication. You won't even touch a keyboard. And I think those might be, I think they're going to be really popular for a while, but I think that's going to die down pretty quick. The dual authentication, as long as it's not overdone, you know, if you're just going out to do research and, you know, I noticed Google is putting captchas on nearly everything that you search these days, and I think it's too much. And that might be just because I've got a VPN that's a whole house VPN. Makes it look like my location is, could be New York or Canada or France or someplace else like that. But I think other people are suffering with that too. I would much prefer a dual authentication than a captcha, or, of course, the new ones, you know, you're doing like a little jigsaw puzzle. They seem to be easier than picking out how many motorcycles or stairs or streetlights. It just doesn't get to be too much. Now, in the event that you're doing something financial, I think it's absolutely necessary. And I really like at that point that it calls my smartphone and verifies that it's me, because I got my smartphone. If that goes away, I'm going to know about it in minutes.
Yeah.
So it's I kind of like the process. I think it's overdue. I think it's going well. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that. And you mentioned, too, that you've actually signed yours, you've tapped yours with a PIN number. That's becoming more and more popular as well. I like that idea as well. I still think that if it's a financial, if it's got anything to do with kind of a financial transaction, it should come to your smartphone as well. It really should. I just like it. I think it's the way to go.
Yeah, I think anything money-related, credit cards, banking. One thing that I am becoming leery of, and I want to get your thoughts on that, it's super convenient on sites you go to frequently, particularly to buy stuff, to let them hold on to your credit card number and have that embedded. It makes it so easy. Say, for instance, you're on Amazon or Target.com or whatever website you buy stuff on regularly. I'm becoming a little leery of leaving that there. And it's better than a debit card. I get it, using a credit card. But I still think there needs to be another layer, and that gets back to these other payment systems like PayPal. They've been around for a long, long time, where there's that extra buffer, if you will, between the evildoers and your money.
Oh, I agree. And with Amazon, you know, they don't even ask you anymore. You use a credit card, it just goes into your account. Their security is absolutely top shelf. That said, nothing is perfect. Nothing.
Right.
And I agree. I don't like that. Now, my Proton email comes with Proton VPN, and it comes with Proton Password Manager as well. That actually will save credit cards as well, and it doesn't leave it on the site, even if the site thinks it does. This thing somehow just scoops it right out and just keeps it on the Proton server, and they are probably one of the top security companies on the planet. They're out of Sweden, and that's much better. Even there, Steve, I have to admit, I don't save credit card numbers even there. The less exposure you give to any type of financial thing like this, the better off you are. I just don't think it's necessary.
And credit card providers, we brought this up before over the years, many will provide virtual numbers for certain types of transactions. So, I mean, it's one of those, but that buffer between your accounts and, you know, general run-of-the-mill online transactions is probably a good idea. Boy, the way our talk and text line really busy today, and we're grateful for that, as always. And by the way, still plenty of time to get on Tech Talk and visit with Doug. Our number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, from our text line, my wife uses Google Chrome for her searches on her desktop computer. Lately, when she opens Chrome, the Yahoo icon shows up on the search bar. Any idea why that's happening, and how do we fix that?
Yeah, you got to go into your search engines, and you got to replace your default search engine back to Google. There are sites that sometimes will just automatically change that for you. I haven't had it happen in a while, but first time it did, I went, what is this? That, to me, that's way invasive. You know, that this particular texture may not have done anything to activate that. Yeah, but the big thing is go into settings, find your search engine, and put it back to Google if that's where you want it to be. It's a good idea to have it there in Chrome and Chromium. Yeah, you got to keep an eye on that. You know, you got to remember, these people are being paid fractions of pennies for every website somebody goes to. So, yeah, they want in on that computer business. They want those fractions of pennies. Be amazed at how fast they add up. Well, that's the way Google was built. So it's a cat and mouse type thing, and I think that it might be a little over-intrusive when they start doing things without your permission. There needs to be more transparency in that kind of activity, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it could have been one of those where along the way, do you want to make Yahoo your landing spot, you know, your home page, if you will. And and those things can be very sneaky, no doubt about it. Sometimes, like, what do I do? How do I go back?
And I don't want to leave people with a bad taste for Yahoo in their mouth either. Yahoo's doing a good job lately, and Yahoo may not have had anything to do with this. It may have been a sub company that actually gets paid from Yahoo. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't even know if you could ever even track it down. But Yahoo's a good search engine. In fact, they're coming back in spades, really. I like what I see it coming from Yahoo.
Yeah, I've had an email account with Yahoo for longer than I want to admit, a long, long time. And I still use it, and I think they do a really nice job. I mean, you thought they might go the way of AOL, if you will, or something along those lines. But they've hung in there. There's no doubt.
They have, and they didn't cram contracts and charges down people's throat. It's a classy company. I really like Yahoo. I really do. I've been using them more and more lately as I'm kind of veering off from Google somewhat. And I like Yahoo. They're doing good.
Here's a good one before the break. This text comes from Heather in Hutchinson. What is the best way to get rid of cookies? I have a mini Mac, or is that just part of the deal?
Well, yeah, you can get rid of cookies just going into your browsers and deleting them, but you want to be careful with that because some of them are performance cookies and some of them are cookies that you really want to keep. If you create an account, part of that thing is saved in your cookies. Not all cookies are bad. I think that's really where Pervasor really shines because it doesn't take all of them. It leaves the important ones and just does its thing. Again, if you got a Windows machine, Pervazer.com. I'd download it and install it and run it for sure. This is another one of those little things in Pervasor that it just does. Your browsers can become over inundated with cookies. If you got a 5 or 6 year old computer and you haven't cleaned your browsers and haven't taken care of your history and your cache files and your cookies, they'll slow down. I mean, it will slow down drastically. Then it's time to get in and clean some house and just go into settings and find them and look around, and you know you can save it into a file as well in case you want to put them back. But people should be aware of how this works in their browsers, and it should become a part of their normal maintenance. And I think it's important that they do that. But not all cookies are bad; they really aren't.
All right. And on that note, we're going to break. By the way, when we come back, someone's got a brand new laptop. That's very exciting. I will talk about VPNs. And here's a good one when we come back from the break. What is Tor? T-O-R. We'll get Doug's thoughts on all of those when we come back here on Tech Talk. By the way, this is our final show for a while, because once again, Tech Talk on Saturday is between 3 and 4. Sports schedules permitting, and the Twins season starts Thursday in Kansas City. So when the Twins aren't playing on a Saturday afternoon, you'll be able to enjoy Tech Talk with Doug. Quick break. We'll have an update on that weather, and the weather is the big story this weekend here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindhart is joining us here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. And, Doug, we have a lot of texts today and a lot of good ones, and we teased some before the break. And I think we should jump into those right away. Number one, let's talk about VPN with malware bytes. Is it a good idea? Should I go that route?
Oh, nothing wrong with a VPN. The only thing that people should realize is once you commit to a VPN, and a lot of people don't think about this when they first buy one, is how many devices are you going to put this on? Now, in my case, I did a whole home VPN, and the only place that I configure my virtual private network is in my router. It's really, really slick. You know, people bring computers over, I work on them, they're behind the VPN, they're safe and as they possibly could be. Now, with that said, last week I was getting a message on my iPhone that said there's a device in my network that's monitoring my equipment and could be interfering with my privacy. See, even Apple, even that iPhone didn't recognize that it was the VPN. That's really good. That, in my thinking, that's the ultimate. But virtual private networks, just be careful you're not getting into some fly-by-night one that doesn't cover you and doesn't get things done. My experience with VPNs is Proton, that actually came with my email account, my purchased one, it's the best VPN I've ever had. And the old VPN that I had is not the one that's here in the States, it's the one in Sweden. And then I had WireGuard, which is worldwide. And I had several others, Zeus, I tried Nord, there are many of them. But the fastest and the easiest to configure iPhone is that Proton, and you can buy the VPN separate. They're a good thing if you really want to heighten up your security. Now, the way I'm set up, even my TVs are behind the VPN and working fine. Some VPN providers, Netflix would stop, and Amazon Prime Video would stop, and Disney would stop. But with Proton, they all work, and flawlessly. So, yeah, I'm real happy with Proton VPN. I think they're well worth your looking into, for sure, for sure. And if you're planning on having it with on a Windows machine with malware bytes, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I don't think that people should get so tied up with, well, I got malware bytes, I better get malware bytes VPN as well. It's not that specific. In fact, I'm kind of the mindset of, you know, let's keep them separate. Keep them all honest, right?
Yep.
As long as your VPN isn't causing some type of false reads in your antivirus, which it shouldn't, and vice versa. As long as you don't have them conflicts, you're good to go. So, yeah, I check them out. You don't have to spend a lot of money to have all this stuff. You really don't.
Once again, a lot of text today on the program, and the number is 651-461-9226. We'll be off next Saturday as the Twins open the season against Kansas City. And just keep this in mind, if the Twins are off, we'll be on the radio. If the Twins are playing a night game, for instance, Tech Talk will be on the radio. And once again, sports schedules permitting, Twin schedules permitting, and they're playing a matinee next Saturday in Kansas City as the season gets started. But by the way, you can catch all our Tech Talk shows online, WCCRadio.com. We have a library of podcasts with a lot of great content. All right, Doug, this is from our text line. Someone has a brand new HP 17-inch laptop. Sounds like a beauty. What security would you recommend on that machine?
Well, if it's an HP, I would be, hopefully, just get a hold of HP and tell them that you want Wolf security. I think that's the best you can get anywhere these days. HP came out with this several years ago, and it protects your computer down to the bare metal, which what that means is that's also protecting your firmware, your BIOS. I think that's essential. That's it. We have to admit it. One someday, we all got to sit down and realize that no matter who builds this equipment, they're building the back door in. There's no question in my mind. I can't prove it, but I know they are, every one of them. So if you got something like that, there's only one company that could have possibly got in, and that would have been HP, and they're not going to do that. But Wolf Security, I am so impressed with that. And I know a lot of people complain that, well, it slowed their computer down. But if you tone down Windows Defender or stop it entirely, just run with Wolf Security, you'll be a happy camper. And if I'm not mistaken, if you buy a computer from HP and it's in the business line, I think you get 3 years of Wolf Security for free. And after that, I think it's like $30 a year. It's not overpriced at all. I think that's the best you can do. Again, my opinion, but I've seen a lot of them, and I like it. I like it. If you're an enterprise deal, like your work, for example, Steve, it'd be perfect. And even if you don't have an HP, I think they're going to start selling it to non-HP equipment as well. They've been talking about that a while, and I think it's coming.
All right. And quickly, before the break, we got this text a little bit earlier. What is Tor, T-O-R, and what is it used for?
You know, you got to kind of think of Tor. I think Tor was the original VPN. Tor was contributed to, still is, contributed to individuals that allow you to use a little bit of their bandwidth to create an invisible internet. It's probably as secure as you could possibly get. And you could just open up Google and type in download Tor browser and start to read about it. It'll take a little bit of learning. It's not going to run as fast as your normal computer with no VPN or nothing like that. But, and I use it quite often. I don't use it continuous because, well, it interferes with my VPN. But there are times where I like to have it. You know, if I want to check new prices at Comcast Xfinity, for example, if I connect to them normally, they know it's me because they can see my computer. But if I use a Tor browser, well, they don't know where I'm come from, and I look like a new customer, and I can actually get to see new customer prices. And things like that that creep up on the internet where the Tor browser just shines. But I would, and by the way, Steve, I don't know if people realize this, but the Brave browser has Tor built in. And you open up for a new browser, and it says private browser with Tor, and it's already there. So, you know, give it a whirl. I think you'd be very impressed.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk DuckDuckGo, Starlink, and get back into Windows 11. That came up a little bit earlier in the program. We have a lot of techs on the show today here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. It has been a great hour of tech talk. A lot of techs on the show today, and we'll try to get to as many as we can. We'll be off next Saturday if the Twins are on. We have the day off. But if the Twins aren't playing on Saturday afternoon, you'll be able to hear Tech Talk here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. But if you miss us, check out the podcast online at WCCORadio.com. Just put in WCCO Tech Talk, and you'll get the entire library. So a lot of good stuff there. All right, Doug, some good ones here. And we'll get to as many as we can before we run out of time. What do you know about DuckDuckGo?
I like DuckDuckGo. Okay. Always have. Now, the whole premise of DuckDuckGo is your privacy. And they're trying to create the balance. A lot of people like Google, myself included. I still like it. Google has kept track of what I search for and what type of language I listen to, and most of it tech. So when I put in a search these days, it's just instant. Usually, the first page, I've got my answer. And it's taken years to develop that, but that's really, I think, Google's claim to fame, over and above all the negative stuff. DuckDuckGo is trying to do the same thing and keep my stuff completely private, and it's happening. I think it's going to take a little bit longer, but I love DuckDuckGo. Anything to do with finding a balance of privacy and still giving me what makes the internet worthwhile is always a plus.
All right, here's a quick one on Starlink, low-level satellites being launched by SpaceX. It is
23 of them.
And they continue to launch more. We probably don't have time to give a full answer here, and we'll probably need to dig into it more.
Okay.
And they were wondering about dead spots. Well, if they're offering service in your neighborhood where you live, they're uptime is, you know, consistent with any other internet service provider. Now, weather can
Absolutely.
Be a factor, power outages, etc. You know, you can't take that into account. But if they're offering it in your area, they their uptime results have been pretty good so far.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they wanted to launch 23 satellites this Friday on top of a Falcon 9 rocket. And yeah. The weather people said, nope, you got to wait. It looks like they're going to try to get it the weekend, but they may even go into next week now with this weather moving in. It's an interesting concept. And some of the ship lines now have picked up Starlink for shipping. And people like the internet. They are liking that real well. So it's good. That's a good question. But the dead spots eventually will disappear. And they will have this thing layered in such a way, my understanding is that you'll be getting that internet from a minimum of 3 satellites all the time. Dead spots will be gone. I'm looking forward to this. This is interesting technology.
Yeah, and from what I've heard, say, for instance, if you go on the website and they say, oh, it's available where you live, you know, they're pretty confident they're going to keep you up and running. All right, Doug, we really don't have, we can't be fair to another text, but we will tell people once again, our library of podcasts available at WCCORadio.com. And if the Twins aren't playing that day, we'll have Doug and Tech Talk here on the program. Doug, by the way, if people want to reach out to you during the week, what's your phone number and email?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin, ADMIN, at WCCOTech.com. WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you, Steve, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you as well, Doug. We'll be in touch, and we'll visit again the way it looks later in April. I think the Twins are out on the West Coast playing a night game in Southern California. All right, there he is. Doug Swenhart and Tech Talk.